Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Overshares podcast. My name is Carla Thorn.
And I'm Harla.
And today we have a brand new episode.
Can I ask you something? You know when you talk, are you one of those people that talk with your top teeth or your bottom teeth? Can I tell you what you are?
Don't tell me what I am. I'm like, what am I talking with right now?
No, just like generally.
Should I say a sentence?
If you like, sing a song to me right now, I'll show you if you're like a bottom teeth person or you're a top teeth person.
Okay.
Why are you thinking about it? Just sing something.
Well, I'm thinking, okay. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men.
Oh, you use quite hard.
So I use multiple. Sometimes I do bottom, sometimes I do
top. But sometimes you're a bottom person.
Sometimes I'm very jaw heavy.
Yes.
Sometimes very top heavy.
I think when you're very passionate, you're jaw heavy.
Yeah. Like Quagmire.
Apparently people that talk with their bottom teeth are ugly.
You know, people that are on drugs do a lot of this, like.
Yeah. A lot of grinding.
Yeah.
I've seen my fair share of people. Not that I've had, you know, just spin out.
That's a story for the Patreon.
Oh, yeah, that is. Anyway, guys, how have you been? Right, I'm on my health bag at the moment. Guys, I'll tell you what happened to me in the gym.
Oh, yesterday. Health wagon, go on.
Yeah, anyway, I was in my health bag now. So it's called Torn. Everyone's in a competition, by the way. Oh my God, Galada, our producer, came up with an idea where she said we should do an Apple Watch competition.
I know, I saw
between
that.
Between the three of us, and I think we should because it will motivate us. But let me get back to that.
So basically, all the girls in the group chat are on a massive health kick at the moment. That is what like we're all doing, and it's been really fun, hasn't it, Hod? Being very competitive and closing our rings, our fitness rings, and also now eating healthily, which was a newly incorporated thing, which is actually quite funny because none of us have ever really deeped how many calories are in things. Trigger warning to people that don't like talking about calories, but anyway, we never deeped how many calories are in, like, you know, sugary shit, as Eddie likes to say. There's a whole load of sugary shit.
Get that out.
Anyway, but I feel really great at the moment. I feel like my vision is clear. I feel like the brain fog has disappeared. Yeah, I'm not seeing any major changes though. So yeah, we'll see. We'll check back in about 8 weeks' time.
So yeah, should we start our challenge together?
No, you've... What challenge?
So it's 12 weeks or 8 weeks and you have to close all your rings every single day, I'm assuming. And you've got to hit your target every
single day. I'm not gonna lie, I've got a mad streak at the moment. So it's about you guys. Oh, is it? You got a streak?
I've got 7 days.
So you know what? Maybe we should bring someone else into the chat.
Why?
Because I'm just too sick for you guys.
Okay. So are we good? So it starts from tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah. From tomorrow, we're going to challenge ourselves. But yeah, we're going to do a competition.
There we go. So yeah, let's go. Anyway, how's your week been?
My week's been all right, other than the fact that I've got whooping cough, but it's like functional whooping cough. I'm able to still do things. Anything fun? I watched Twilight.
Oh my God, me too. It was so boring. Also, Bella's acting.
Terrible!
Disgusting.
She's so bad, especially in like the first, in all of them. You know what I was really creeped out is that Renesmee is an AI baby. She's not real.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that far. Oh, you watched it on that thingy. Yeah, I couldn't. After I watched one, Prime was like, suz. Got to pay for the rest. And then I was like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, so I watched all of them. Yeah, I didn't get up too much. I'm not going to lie.
You know what I watched this week? I watched this because at the moment, all I watch is like crime dramas for some reason because I'm really into them.
Yeah.
I watched Law and Order, completely finished that. That was actually really good. And now I'm watching this show called Unforgivable on Netflix. And it's about like... basically two detectives that basically work on discovering, so they like discover a body that's been dead for like a very long time, and then they have to basically work out when that person was killed and who killed them, and it's actually really good. So you might want to watch that, but that's all I've been doing.
I've been watching rom-coms. But do you know what? I also protected myself with Earth Care. So, you know what? Yeah, there's no way a rom-com is going to make me chat to a man on the bus. Like, you're do you know what like, I mean?
My glasses just fell.
Every time I watch a rom-com now, I've got your voice in my ear. Being like, now you're going to go on the bus. You're going to see a man. You're weak. You're vulnerable from watching the rom-coms.
No, I don't think it's all the time. I'm not saying you can't watch rom-coms. Guys, chill out. You know there was bare people defending music. I was just like, guys, let's stop now because we all know music is haram. But if you want to listen to it, that's on you. No one's judging you because I listen to music. Well, not anymore, but I'm trying not to. But it's just like, we can't be making halal what's haram. Like, that's awkward.
Yeah.
I know that made it awkward for me. But I'm still watching shows. I just...
You just gotta soldier it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, pray five prayers.
So a lot of girls were messaging saying that the episode actually really inspired them to stop listening to music, which I think is so good. Because
Let's do it together, guys. But also,
another thing that I want to mention is me and Hotha are not, you know, perfect, infallible creatures that just don't, that abstain from everything. I'm not gonna lie.
Listen, people need to stop acting like
me and Hoth.
We're trying to work on ourselves. Yeah. If we advise you to do something, do it. But
I'm pivoting every single day.
Do you know
I pivot every day.
We're struggling every day. I'm struggling to not listen to music when I go to the gym because I'm just like, how can I listen to a talk and try and run? Like, it's not even on the same wavelength. But the point is, you've just got to change your mind. But that's things that we're doing for ourselves because at the end of the day, Allah's gonna bring us on the day of judgment by ourselves.
Yeah,
you can't come to me now and say, Hala said in a video, quit music, and she's a hypocrite, da, 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 da. Like,
Yeah.
We have to, and the other thing that really makes me laugh sometimes, and I saw it in some of the comments, is when people justify things that are actually hard, I'm like, come on, guys. We all know wearing makeup is not a good thing. We all know that this is not proper hijab. We all know that listening to music is not good. Fine, we all do it, but it's things that we're working on. But just because, like, you want to make yourself feel better about what you're doing.
Yeah. Don't blame it on us.
Don't blame it on us and don't make it out like it's halal because it's not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I
can't. At least we know. If someone says to me, you're wearing makeup today, I'll be like.
No, but do you know what? You know what I'm like? What makes me nervous is people messaging saying, oh, like I've deleted Spotify because of this video. Even like, I think these are all very honorable things. Like they're so good and like kudos to them for doing it. But I don't want them to do it because of me.
No, you've got to do it for the sake of Allah.
Yeah, I'm a terrible human being.
It has to be sincere. No thing you can ever. You know, there's this thing, this talk that I was listening to, yeah. And I feel like it really made me realize when you do stuff for yourself and when you do stuff for Allah, it's like the difference is a lot better. Anyway, the talk was talking about sincerity and how every time you do a good deed, yeah, you have to think about it in a way. Don't do it for yourself. You have to do it for the sake of Allah. Like you have to think the reason why I'm gonna give this flowers to Hala today to make her feel better is I'm doing it for the sake of Allah so my sister can feel better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like if you're quitting Spotify now, inshallah, Allah gives us hasanat from us inspiring you to quit music.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's something that goes on our ajr.
Yeah.
But like you have to do it for yourself.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like it's all about intention at the end of the day. You have to renew your intention and actually like do it for the sake of Allah.
Yeah. And you know what? It might be a good thing for us. It might, people messaging, and I saw those messages, it made me happy because I was like, oh my God, like it made me more motivated to continue quitting music. I've always listened, you know how hard it is to quit music? I've listened to music all my life.
Tell me.
It's been 2 months and I'm already struggling. I'm just like, oh, I just need it for a quick workout. But it's like, no, you've just got to kick a habit out of your head. But guys, just do stuff for yourself. Like, we just talk.
Yeah.
We're just two dumb girls talking. We're not shayokh. We don't know what we're saying.
Yeah, honestly, everything is for us, it's like an analogy.
It's a journey.
We just give loads of different analogies of what we think to us. Makes sense to us. Other people think we're dumb, which is fair. Do you know, fair to you guys. But the way it makes sense in my head, you will never understand because you can't see my head. You can't see inside my head. You're not me. But it makes sense. Sometimes we probably don't articulate it well, but
you know what? It might work for people and cool.
Yeah, like, and there's people that get it. And it's all about the girls that get it.
The girls that get it, right?
What can we do?
Right. Anyway, talking about Dean, I want to tell you something that I learned today. It's about It's about what dickhead does to your heart. And also, I learned something else. The fact that we always talk about our frontal lobe, basically, now that our frontal lobe is fully formed, I feel like we can fully understand and grasp, like, you know, all those lectures that we used to hear and like all those, like we can fully understand it now. So like, how many times have people said, have you read that book from like Ibn Qayyim about purification of the soul? And you probably looked through it and read it. But like recently I actually read it and I was like, oh my God, I didn't actually think this. Anyway, so in the book, it was talking about the heart and how to cleanse your heart and what the heart means, yeah? So obviously the heart is the king of the body. But one of the things was dhikr is basically like water for your heart. So if you don't do dhikr, your heart, like your nafs, your heart will dry out, which means your heart will basically become black.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? With like...
Terrible.
You're more susceptible to sin. Anyway, the idea that dhikr is the water for the heart, and if you don't do dhikr, your heart basically gets dehydrated. It just made me think, I was like, that is so smart, because the more you remember Allah in your tongue, the more you're like more conscious of Allah, and the more you're conscious of not committing a sin, because you're always like saying Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah.
Yeah,
do you know
what I mean? Yeah.
So like you're more willing to like you're always thinking about Allah, and then you're less likely to commit a sin, and you're more likely to please Him and like do the things that purify your heart.
So it's like water for the heart.
I don't know if I explained it properly.
A protein for the heart. Makes it stronger.
It made it basically the way he said it is doing dhikr, living without dhikr dehydrates your heart,
which then makes it black. That actually makes sense.
And I just thought, oh my God, how long have I not been?
And how black is my heart? God, I hope
this for all of us, but it just made me think. I was like, whoa, that's a goddamn.
I think that's a brilliant analogy.
And I just thought it's analogies like that just wake you up a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
But also makes things so easy to understand, because I'd be doing these things and not knowing like what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like when you don't understand the benefits of them.
And I think it's the language barrier as well. Like not being able to understand Arabic is such a big...
We're very disadvantaged.
So much. Because there's so many different meanings.
So when people, like when you read a book, talking about a specific thing that we do every day and it's explained to us as though we're 5 years old, it really helps me understand. Yeah. Because otherwise I'm just actioning things without knowing why.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean?
It's mad. Like even like the concept of prayers, to make prayers easier for you. It's like I read this other thing that was talking about like the 5 daily prayers, and you see them as like, so basically you see this world as, you know that main movie with Neo, The Matrix? So the world that we live in is The Matrix. And every time we go into prayer, we're actually going into the real world that we're supposed to be going into. Do you get it?
Is this your own analogy?
No, I read this somewhere. No, this is my own analogy, but like it was like in a different format. So don't quote me, I am not a sheikh. But it really resonated with me.
Eid.
Talking about the Matrix. Anyway, let me land. Okay.
From the whole day.
But I'm trying to make it easier. It made it easier for me to understand. So it's like the way I see this world. Yeah.
So you're stepping into. So I. Jannah.
No, you're not stepping into Jannah, but it's like you're stepping into the reality of
You're stepping into. And wait, this is gonna be from Charmed, yeah. What's that world called? The in-between world.
Basically.
The in-between world. Do you remember the in-between world?
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's something. I can't think of the name.
No, not Nexus. What was it flipping called?
Not the underworld. It's an analogy, so just relax. Let me land, guys. So the way I see this land, this world, this earth, yeah, and like our daily chores and our daily workings and like going to work, it's like the world that we live in, but it's not the real world that we're supposed to be in. The real world that we're supposed to be in is after Judgment Day, we go to Jannah. That is like the reality of the life that we're supposed to live. Do you get it? So like this world is just full of mad distractions, and prayer is like your reality check. Am I making sense a little bit? I just mean that prayer is an escape to the reality that you're meant to go to. Do you understand? That is the way that I see it. So it makes it easier for me now to get up and go pray Dhuhr and Asr.
Because you want to be in the in-between world.
No, because I
want
to be closer to Allah. But it's in my mind, I'm like, this world is just a delusion.
Like you want
to
be away from this world.
This world
get
is a game.
Get me away. Let me get into Salah.
It's like this world is a simulation. And prayer is my like way to get into my actual reality.
It's like you're like taking steps to.
Okay, yeah, we got there in the end. Anyway, sorry. But it's what's helping me. So I mean, if it helps you, it helps you. But I'm just saying.
If it helps you, it helps you.
It helps you, it helps you.
Oh. What's anyway. Another analogy that you've had recently? Only think of one that I've had recently. Because you know, when you go for a walk, you have all these thoughts, don't you? And you have all these questions. And then when you come back to your house, you forget them all.
That's it, really. I think that's the main things that captured me and the things that... So without the care, your heart dehydrates. Then I read something about how basically Surah Fatiha battles all types of diseases. And let me tell you a story about this. So when I was little, I was in my room one night. And I remember like two nights before my ma'alimad, which my Quran teacher, said to me, whenever something's wrong with you, read Fatiha, yeah? But with an odd number. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I got the sty in my room, yeah? But you know when a sty is growing, guys? And it's like a little bump in your eye?
Yeah.
So then that night, I read Fatiha like 5 times. I went to bed, and in the morning, it was gone. Isn't that cool?
Isn't it sort of falak that, like, cures all the diseases? So, like, if you hold it over the area that's, in pain or something.
I thought it was Fatiha, yeah.
Really?
Sort of Fatiha cures all diseases.
I thought it was, like... Sort of nurse for like, and
that's like for
illnesses.
That's like before you go to bed and for like jinns and stuff.
No, I'm so sorry. I've heard there's a hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come. I think it was like Hassan or Hussein or someone was sick, and basically he held his hand over the place, or that person held their hand over the place that was hurting them.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I get confused. Well, I
get confused.
Too many things to do.
Anyway, I've got a scenario for you guys, so let's listen. This lady said, advice, please. She goes, I haven't really been in relationships in like high school, just focused on my studies. And now that I'm older and the aunties and hoyas have been asking me if I found the one yet and when I'm going to get married. So 8 months ago, she goes, I get a follow and messages from my brother, mashallah. He was really respectful and very kind. He's 4 years older than me and closer to his 30s. And from the start, I told him, I don't want to get married anytime soon. I'm working on a degree in radiology, so I've got to focus on that if I want to make it. He said, that's okay. And basically, they stayed talking. And she goes, we both noticed that we have a lot in common. And he is very big on Deen. So as a couple of months went by, he said that he's ready for marriage and wanted to get married. I told him I have to finish my degree. And if I was holding him back, he can go on and go about his life.
Oh.
But he goes, no, and stayed and said that he'll wait for me. Which I feel so bad about, but also have strong feelings for him. So I wanted him to stay, but didn't at all at the same time. She's very confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, she goes, at uni, I've made this friend around the same time. And we didn't really talk all semester. And she goes, I see him around school, but we didn't have many classes together. And she goes, it was always an high and by type of conversation. But she goes, towards the second semester of the year, we had a couple of classes together and we noticed that we had a lot in common. She goes, he's very funny.
Wait, another person?
Yeah, she goes, he's very funny and he brought out a little girl in me.
Oh dear.
He brought out the inner child. Okay. Anyway, she goes, he's brought out the inner child of her. And basically, he has a really beautiful smile, a lot on Byric, she said. And he's basically given her the vibes that he actually wants to get to know her, etc. And she goes, and he wanted to know my family and meet my dad and my brother. She goes, I'm stuck. I have one guy who is basically, he's in another country, but he's very sweet and he's on his deen, but also who's actually waiting for her and he wants to get married to her. Mm. And then she's also got this new guy that she goes to school with who is her age. He's very funny and kind, but she doesn't know who to go with.
She has to weigh up the pros and cons of both of them.
I'm trying to say go with the one with the deen.
I like the other one.
Do you? I think the one with the deen, he's already got his life.
I like the little joker.
You like the joker?
But that's just my
preference.
Yeah. Because you know the other one, let's be honest, Hoda, he's in a country that's not even the same country as her. It's just going to take too long. Did she say the other guy is like on his deen as well? He did also say that straight away he wanted to meet the family. I feel like he's doing it in a halal way. Obviously,
I just think she should go with the one that gets the Jenessa car going. Like, I don't know what I'm
saying. So the second one looks like Jenessa car.
So the second one, okay, let's
the first one seems like he's like strict.
So let's get this through. So she said that the first one she met 8 months ago, she goes, I get follow and messages from the brother, mashallah, who's respectful, very kind. So I think they met on social media. They're messaging. He's very kind, she said. It was also the way she's described them both. This one, she said, he's very kind and respectful, and he's 4 years older than her.
And mature.
He's 4 years older than her, and he's closer to 30. So I don't know how old she is, and I don't know how old he is. But I'm assuming if he's 4 years older than her and he's closer to 30, she must be early 20s and he's late 20s. Do you get it?
Yeah.
And then she hasn't really said anything else about him except that he wants to get married to her and that he's on his deen, and he said that he would wait for her. And she also said, which I feel bad about also, she goes, I have strong feelings for him.
Right.
The first guy.
Second guy now.
And the second guy, she described him as, she said she met him as a friend at uni. They started talking. They realized they had a lot in common. And she goes, he's very funny, and he brought out like the little girl in her. Like
that's it.
And she said that he's got a beautiful smile.
It's a no-brainer.
And he's been giving me the vibes that he wants to actually get to know me and wanted to know my family, my dad and my brother. I'm stuck.
She ain't stuck.
I don't know.
Look at the description of both of them.
I think it's easier for the second one because he's got more access to her.
He's got je ne sais quoi.
I think he's got more access to her, but we don't know what the first one's
like. Of course,
like.
He's got more access to her. They get to
he's
see each other.
He's got more time with her. They get to see each other. She's already felt that.
She's got the butterflies. Giggles. The first one is probably, listen.
DMs.
The first one is probably good for her.
Yes, he's more stable.
But at the same
give her a
time,
good life.
Yeah, you need, in your life, like for the longevity, you need someone that you feel secure around, comfortable, who can make you laugh.
But look at the age. This one's the same age as her. So if she's in her early 20s.
I don't even think people should be looking that high up in age these days. I really don't. Because you know, sometimes these older men, they've got jaded personalities. Like, they don't even, like, feel anymore.
They're stuck in their own routine.
They're jaded AF.
But this guy's not old. He hasn't even turned 30 yet.
No, like, but in comparison to her. It sounds like he is in comparison to her. The other guy seems like, you know what it is? When you have someone with, like, shared interests, shared, like, you know, values, shared... Loads of things are shared. Things in common, she mentioned. Between her and the second guy. I feel like that's definitely...
I think you like the second guy because he's funny.
No.
And he's got the vibes.
No.
Because the other guy shared common stuff with her too.
Wait.
That's why I don't understand. She hasn't given us a lot to work with.
It's all about this. You've got to see it in the description, Holder. I'm so sorry. Good and respectful, yeah. Those, like, adjectives... are what you describe anyone as.
But she's saying that because I don't think she's got the same access to that guy as she's got with this guy that's in her class.
But I don't think
Do you understand?
You know what, if
so
we're thinking
she's
about-
not thinking, she's asking us, and we have to be impartial here, shall I tell you why? Because she's thinking right now, she sees this guy, she knows him, she's speaking with him, like, she sees the je ne sais quoi moving
up and
down.
But my fear for her is that barrier in access between her and... guy number one, yeah, is like when she, let's say for example, she actually does have access to him, what if she then realizes
I'm not saying get married to him, I'm saying tell him to come to your whatever country you're in, love, and have meetings with him.
She's got
and
to weigh
you've
up
got
the
to
pros
compare
and cons,
both.
Yeah,
she can't just choose one, but I think she can't just jump on the last one. My reason being, I think he's the same age as her, which I already think is a no-no, in my opinion. And I also think, at the moment, she's not thinking with her right mind. She's not impartial, because she's already... This guy's making her laugh. He's making her giggle.
Laugh and giggle isn't always good.
Laugh and giggle's not good. Because when you associate happiness and laughter with someone, you're already,
good.
Like, in your mind...
But I just,
he's
you know,
you.
But I, do you know what I like about university, guy, is the fact that they're, like, roughly around the same age... Do you know what I mean? It's cute. You see all these little cute young couples are there. And they seem to be loving life. Do you know what I mean? I don't want her to get with some old guy. They've got nothing
he's
in common.
He's not old though. He's not even
not
30.
Old, but older than her. They've got nothing in common. She's got to sit there basically talking about her life, and he's probably like rolling his eyes, like when how.
But you're now making a picture of this man that's not true, because she said they have a lot in common, and she said she has feelings for him. Strong feelings that she didn't say for the other one. And the first one, he wants to get married to her. Even when she said no to him, he said, I'll wait for you, which already shows loyalty.
It also shows, should I tell you what that also shows?
You're using.
No, but listen, like when you tell someone no and they come back, it also is like, you don't respect my boundary.
He didn't say that though. He said to her, let's go back to what he said.
So she doesn't want to talk to him no more.
No, she didn't say that.
She didn't want to do this anymore.
You're creating an agenda.
She didn't
want to
do this no more. And then
pause,
he said,
pause.
And then
let's get the actual words that she said.
And he said, no, I'm coming back.
She goes, I don't want to get married anytime soon, and I'm working on a degree in radiology. So
he said, I'm
going
to stay. So I'm going to wait around.
Can you let me finish? You're creating an agenda for this man we don't know. He's not even old. He's younger than us. Carry
no,
on.
No, I'm talking.
Listen. Let me just
stop
see what she said.
Comparing it to you, it's about them.
I am
old in comparison to her.
But I just don't think a 21-year-old should get married to a 21-year-old boy. If
she
he's not on
the
his
other guy's 21. How do you know he's not on his D? She just didn't mention it.
She didn't mention it.
She
would have been
it.
A crucial
she
thing.
She admitted it.
Which shows why.
We don't know why.
Anyway, let's listen. Because I'm guy one and you're guy two, yeah? She goes...
I'm riding hard for my guy.
She goes, blah, blah, blah. He's closer to his 30s. From the start, I told him I don't want to get married anytime soon and I'm working on my degree in radiology, so I have to stay focused and if I want to make it. He said, that's okay. And we stayed and we talked and we both noticed that we have a lot in common and he's very big on this thing. So a couple of months went by and he basically said to her, I'm ready for marriage and wanted to get married. And she goes, I told him I have to finish my degree. And he goes, and if I was holding him back that he can go, but he said no and stayed and said that he'll wait for me, which I feel so bad about. But also I have really strong feelings for him. So I wanted to stay, but didn't at the same time. Oh, that's crucial. She said didn't at the same time.
She doesn't like this guy.
And she goes, at uni. Now let's talk about the second. She goes, at uni.
She's getting to know this guy at uni. He's given her all the feels. And then she's confused. She's realizing slowly that she has stronger feelings for the second guy. Sometimes you have to be.
He's very
sometimes
funny.
Sometimes you have to come to terms with how you're feeling. You have to look in the mirror.
So with the second guy, she goes, he's very funny. He brought out the little girl in me. He has a beautiful smile. He's given me the vibes that he wanted to actually get to know me and wanted to know my family and meet my dad and brother. She goes, I'm stuck. I don't know. I'm not feeling the second guy. I feel like the second guy is a little bit of a fuckboy. I'm so sorry.
I feel like first guy is probably a very good option for her in terms of maybe development.
Stability. Having a good life.
Oh, I'm not sure. We don't know. We can't predict that one, because that one obviously happens. We figure that out when you move in. You can never know those things. Do you get it? Second guy, however, obviously there is access there, and access is going to create feelings, familiarity. You see their face, you talk to them. Do you know what I mean?
But he could also equally be toxic. We don't know.
So
I think she should tell the first guy to come, meet her with her family, see what his personality's like for a few meetings. Then meet with the second one, see what his personality's like for a few meetings, and then make your choice.
Exactly.
And please email us the choice, because we want to know if you went with guy A
she or likes guy B.
I think she likes guy B because he's fun, he's flirty.
But I don't want to encourage guy B, because guy B, sometimes they're demons.
Guy B just looks like he's swept in.
Like F-boy behaviour.
It's given F-boy behaviour.
Yeah.
Whereas the first guy, he might seem a bit like...
The first guy is the better option.
I'm sorry, like, but you've got to think about development as a human being.
I have to stress, the first guy is the better option.
The first guy is the wise
but
option.
But the second guy
is
going like,
to give you a thrill.
You've seen a glimpse of his personality, and that is important for longevity in a marriage. Do you get it? Personality. However, the other factor, the character, the dean, is the bread and butter.
And that is what's going to carry you forward.
Mm.
Because marriage isn't about hee hee hee, because after 5 years, that's gonna go.
The foundation is the character and the dean.
So,
but like his little personality quirks and stuff like that. You know what? You like it. It's good. Now you need to start asking questions about his dean. Anyway, I think she's pissed hard off. Because should I tell you why? I feel like in her mind, she like,
knows
from the way she's talking, yeah, she has an idea. She's already made a decision because of the fact that she, like, that last line that she said about person number one. So I think she's put istikhara with the knowledge that she has a decision now and see what happens, because things will start.
So this second guy is her age.
Yeah, things will start making sense, I think, after she prays this card. I know she's decided on person number two.
I don't know, man. Second guy. Second guy's giving me fuckboy, and fuckboys scare me. I'm so sorry. If a man makes you laugh and he gives you the vibe and you like him more than he likes you, mm-hmm. that's already a done deal for me. Like, that's how you know you're going to be in a toxic relationship. You're going to be chasing him more than he's chasing you.
Absolutely.
And for marriage, I genuinely believe at my big age now
yeah.
that a guy needs to be into you more than you're into him. And he needs to have, like, the foundation of deen and character, because even when shit goes wrong, he's going to treat you right because he's scared of Allah.
Yeah, it's going to be like, if even if like stuff goes left, his deen and character is basically going to be like the defining thing.
Yeah.
Like in how things get solved, how you move forward.
Exactly. And so if someone doesn't have deen, you're just going to struggle, I'm telling you.
He's going to be so rude to you. He's going to be a bitch.
After a few kikikis, he's going to be like, I'm going out, safe.
Safe, yeah.
Imagine marrying a 21-year-old boy who's not even practicing. Are you mad? Not boy, man.
No, come on, Hod, I can't say that. There's a lot of people that marry.
No, I'm sorry, but...
No, come on, please. You're just... You keep polarizing. Allow the polarization.
I can't. Anyway, Aleph is Aleph at the end of the day. Your Nasib is your Nasib. It's not for me to judge, but just for istikhara. And maybe meet both of them with your families and then make a decision. Good answer.
Right, so this week's Monday Madness, we asked you, what traumatized you as a kid? Yeah, the responses are actually really funny. I think my boob might be on show again. So yeah, a lot of you guys responded to this one. Oh my God, loads of, whoa. I don't know where to start. Allah. Someone said, regularly visited by a jinn.
Well, as a child.
Yeah, that's what traumatized her.
Morning and evening, adhkar.
Seeing my family argue in front of me, oh, that really traumatized me as a kid, you know, I'm not going to lie. I used to run upstairs and put my hands on my ears. Oh,
what, if
yeah.
Who argued? Just your family in general?
Yeah, like my parents, and they used to have little tiffs.
No way.
Yeah, that was our thing, we just went upstairs.
Oh, that's so cute, and you used to go like this?
Yeah.
That's actually so cute.
That's not cute, that is trauma.
That is trauma, though, but just this alone.
Someone said Degder.
Oh, that used to my God, Degder was such a...
Oh my gosh, she used to really... Do you know what really used to scare me? Bloody Mary three times
in
the mirror.
The Candyman.
Oh, Candyman used to scare...
Candyman used to really creep me out.
You know, let me tell you about Bloody Mary. I'm going to tell you how badly this traumatized me. There was a time where I couldn't even look at windows because I thought if I see my reflection and if I say in my head... If I say it in my head three times, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, she'll come out and kill me. So I used to like try and block my mind from thinking about Bloody Mary and like looking at windows. And I used to hide underneath my mum. I swear to God.
How old were you?
I think I was six.
Oh, okay. And understandable.
What, you thought as an adult?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I was a kid. I was so scared of Bloody Mary.
Oh, sorry.
Because it was these little white kids on the estate that told me about her, you know.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. I know.
They were so mean.
Right, carry on.
They said she's going to kill me.
She's going to come out and stab you.
She's going to come out and chop my head off. Imagine saying that to a six-year-old.
In the dark.
And then I reimagined the whole thing. Anyway, yeah. Being knocked out cold by a special needs boy, miskeen, but I died a little inside. I'm not laughing at that. That is like, you know what?
She got knocked out by a special needs boy.
You know what?
That's actually mad because you can't even do anything back.
Those kids are strong. Like,
that happened to me one time on a ward. I got punched in the head by a special needs person. It's very scary.
Oh, someone said FGM.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
That's really, actually mad.
That's like abusive.
You know what I was watching the other day? Honor Killings. And honor killings are actually mad.
FGM is mad.
Yeah, they're both equally as mad.
I think so.
And you know, with honor killing, they don't just kill the person, the woman.
They kill the man.
Sometimes they kill their children as well.
Wait,
so
what?
So scary, yeah.
I thought...
I watched this case of honor killing with this woman from an Asian country. I don't want to name it. And basically, she married a taxi driver and her family weren't happy with that at all. So then the family gathered together and then they basically beat her up and then they basically took her to the top of a building and like threw her, two of her kids off the top of the building and let her watch her children die and then they burnt her alive. So all because she married a taxi driver.
But I just... So
it's just like... And it's all in the name of honour. Like, why did you do that? Why did you marry a taxi driver? Isn't that mad?
But you know what really confuses me about that story is they let her get married to the taxi driver. So they didn't.
So she ran away.
Oh, so I'm thinking, why didn't they off her then?
No, she ran away from
them. I'm like, why wait until she has two kids?
No, she ran away from them and she got married to the taxi driver.
And they found her.
She had children, they found her. Then basically, they basically found her, got her, and then they killed both her children in front of her and then they killed her. Isn't that sad?
So did they go to jail? Her family.
I think the authorities are trying to take them to jail, yeah, if they can find them. Mad.
Some of the parents beating me up. Some of these bit scary, you know. Ooh. So yeah, parents beating me up.
Yeah, I mean, we all got our fair share of beats. Yeah. One time me and Colton got beat by my mum.
But I don't see that as traumatising. I don't see that as funny.
It was actually really funny. I was laughing through it.
Yeah.
And she started laughing as well. And one time my mum used to
But it depends
us.
On the like intensity of the beats.
I don't think my mum used to knock me out.
My mum never used to beat me up with intensity.
No, mum used to beat me up, but it wasn't like...
It was like
little back.
It was like flimsy.
Like on your legs or your arms.
With a flip-flop.
Yeah, it wasn't anything intense.
Yeah, and like if she threw... Oh, I don't want to say too much, because obviously child protection services...
Yeah, adult now, but it's okay.
Yeah, but you know... Might start looking at my mum sideways. Might start investigating her. I don't
the
trust
historical
her.
Abuse.
You know, they might send her to Rwanda. Like, we don't know.
I mean, going to Rwanda looks like a nice holiday. You know, you get paid $2,000, $3,000 a month.
No, it's not nice.
I don't know, but
Rwanda is literally the processing center before they send them back
to their countries.
Yeah.
No, I thought they live in Rwanda and they work there.
What?
Yeah, they find work there. I'm telling you, it's not, you don't, you don't,
check, please.
I don't think, I think they stay, why are they paying them to stay? They pay them to stay there.
So they're taking
to find work.
Migrants from the UK.
Yeah, they're not just sending them back to their countries. That's what would make it even worse. Let's fact check me quickly, because you know, my fast eyes.
Fast mouth. I thought it was just a processing centre.
Nah, for 3 months?
Yeah,
you think I'm joking? They live in OK.
Listen, why were they trying?
And how much do they pay them? They get permanent residency. How much do they pay them to go to Rwanda? They pay them like 2,000
or
something.
Why were they doing so much work to stop the bill for Rwanda?
Because it's unethical to send people to another country.
Oh, because it's against their will.
Yeah, like they don't want to. Some people, they lie to them. They say to them, oh, we're processing your papers. Can you come to the office?
I think, do you know what it is?
And then they put them in the back of a van and send them to Rwanda.
I'll tell you what I think it is, yeah. I think people have a perception of Rwanda. They don't think it's going to be very nice and homely. They think it's going to be a bush. So that's why they're resisting it so much. And they're like, oh my God, how can you send people to Rwanda? You know, Rwanda's probably like a thriving, beautiful country with like palm trees and like blue seas and white sand.
It might be landlocked. Is Rwanda landlocked?
Oh, God.
Anyway, can you
so
carry
no,
on with
no
my...
seas.
I don't know.
But listen, if I was getting 3K just working in Rwanda, but it depends on the type of job, because if I'm doing flipping...
But I think
like
it's...
heavy labour hoarder, come on.
I don't know. I don't
know Rwanda to do heavy labour for 3K.
I don't know if it's heavy labour, but they definitely pay them for an amount of time. I don't know the salary. I think it's in the 2000s. And they give them somewhere to live. And they help them look for work. I don't know if they help them look for work. But we don't know that, because we don't know. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But we don't know what actually
we
happens
don't know what
in
the
Rwanda.
We don't know what the conditions
exactly.
are like.
Exactly. And also the way they get them to go to Rwanda is quite unethical. Because one man, apparently, they called him up and said, come look at your paperwork. And then when he came to the office... He was in the back of a van, mate, going to Rwanda.
I think it's bad because these people, their intention was to come to the UK.
Yeah, and to...
And now you're saying, no, you can't be... Like, it's just like... Imagine saying... Imagine your mum. And they said, no, you can't. You're going to Rwanda. Are you mad? I want to be here.
I won't be here either. Anyway, can you carry on? There's actually really funny ones in there.
Alone, 1 year old, a massive spider was crawling up to me and I was screaming, crying, couldn't move. So bad, I had a nosebleed and now I have severe arachnophobia.
How can she remember that?
I don't remember. My earliest memory is like 5.
Me too.
That's quite sick that she remembers the spider crawling up to her when she was 1 year old.
That's actually really mad.
Oh, maybe she's got a sick memory.
Perhaps.
Maybe she's like 13 years old and it's like not that far away. You know what I mean? Like when she was 1 year old. Starting from the age of 5, my dad telling me I'm fat.
No, well, why? It's true, we all went through it. I'm fat. Stop eating. Carry on.
Starting from the age of 5, my dad telling me I'm fat, ugly, worthless, no one liked me, a failure, cursed, etc.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's evil.
That's not a nice dad.
That's not a nice dad at all.
The TMX sound effect. Whoever produced that sound equals jail.
Might be an American thing.
Oh, damn. What's TMX?
What's the TMX soundtrack?
She mean DMX?
All right, God gonna make me lose my mind up in here.
My oldest brother.
That was Ja Rule. That was in DMX. But carry on. Is that DMX? Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. That was Ja Rule.
Someone said my oldest brother. Someone said growing up with crazy Somali parents in a small town full of white people who had loving parents.
No, but you grew up in a house of character.
Yeah, character building.
Do you know what I mean? Your house is funny.
Exactly.
They don't have that. They're all depressed.
You
in their
will
rooms.
Have memories for life.
Literally.
You're so pretty. It's a shame you're fat. Actually, alhamdulillah, because all the boys would be after you. So they don't want the boys to be after them.
Oh, okay.
To protect her. But also fat shaming.
It's crazy.
God, parents are actually like our worst enemies.
They're the first. That's where your trauma starts.
Watched my Quran teacher being bit by our dogs. To be fair, we had warned him many times.
Why do you have dogs?
Oh my God. Okay, we've got one here. Text messages like this from my parents.
What was the text message?
Oh, she didn't actually tell us what the... Oh, like, so it's like text... Full stop. Messages. Full stop. Like. Full stop. This. Full stop. From maybe. I don't know. My siblings once tricked me into thinking I was dying because I mixed cleaning products.
You know, someone fainted from that.
Mixing cleaning products.
Yeah.
Like bleach and stuff like that.
They had to go to hospital.
I've consumed, I've inhaled so much bleach in my time.
Yeah, it's mad.
Isn't it? I believe someone actually fell over.
Yeah, we know them.
Who is it? Allah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she had to go A&E. Because she makes bad cleaning products.
I inhaled them.
And inhaled it, yeah.
So did she feel dizzy?
Yeah, she said she fainted.
Wow. Guys, don't mix your cleaning products. Being stalked by some middle-aged guy at the age of 9 told my arbor and he beat him up.
Oh, that's a good daddy.
Yeah. Once I was in the library and I saw a man on the dark web looking at cadavers.
Google What's cadavers. That?
Oh my God. Oh,
that's actually really creepy.
My upsy telling me the tooth fairy is shaped.
You know, I was actually contemplating doing that for my
all
kids.
All to avoid putting the £1 under your pillow.
But is it Denby to believe in the tooth fairy? Because I just don't even know what to do.
Because you're a cheapskate and you don't want to give away £1 to your son.
No, I don't mind, but I don't want to say it's the tooth fairy.
What are you going to say then? It's an angel.
Your mum and dad gave you £1. What's the tooth fairy going to do? What is the tooth fairy?
Tooth fairy is just stories you tell your children when they're little. I used to get £1 under my pillow. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I used to get coins. Not every tooth, though. Because my parents weren't always...
Your first tooth?
Yeah, my parents weren't always £1 wealthy. Do you know what I mean?
In the 90s.
Sometimes I used to get sweets.
All right.
Men. What traumatised? Oh, men.
I'd be traumatised by men as well.
Men are very traumatising. I don't think they realise how much power they have in traumatising women.
Would you, someone said on TikTok the other day, if you had a little girl and she was in a forest and there was a bear or a man, which forest would you let her be in?
The bear.
Because the man is so scary.
Do you know, I don't know what it is. Like,
I would rather be with the bear.
Because, you know, with the bear, you can, like,
run away or like hide or do whatever.
Yeah, you can anticipate the bear, but a man who will get in your psyche.
He will stalk you.
He will like emotionally like, do you know what I mean? Just be wrapped around with you.
It's just scary. Very scary.
My Duxie McAllen, I used to have anxiety attacks whenever he comes through the door. I feel you because my one used to hurt me.
Well, my first one was very...
He used to get a pencil and hit my hands.
Yeah. Oh, my God. One time I remember doing Duxi in Hergeisa.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I didn't read my Quran. And I knew it was coming. He had, like, a tie. You know, a tire? You know, the tire of a car?
Yeah.
And, like, he's cut a thread. He's, like, made a weapon out of the tire of the car.
Now, these...
And he made, like, a thin belt out of that rubber. And he used to beat the kids with it outside. So I didn't read my Quran. I was only like 4 years old.
No, these ones.
And
so
he
crazy.
Knocked me out so much that my thumb, like, it was like bleeding from
like
here.
Dislodged.
It's crazy.
You know, the ones back home are actually ruthless. I've had stories.
They're actually evil, the ones back home.
You know what? You escaped. I feel like you got lucky escape with that little thing on your thumb.
But I was 4 years old.
That's probably why
I was getting beat up
you.
Like the big kids.
You were?
I got beat up like the big kids.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Oh my God, I thought it'd allow you because you're
And then
full.
Like my body, like my back had like...
Marks.
The marks from the rubber. Yeah, my mum was fuming. That's not right, man. Great evil.
Why, like, how do they let this happen?
I don't know. But you know what? People in Somalia, they've got memorization on lock, so I don't know. Is it fear that gets it?
Yeah, apparently they're like number one in Quran competitions.
Yeah,
them
and Libya. Libya. Mm.
Quran school, a lot of people talk about Quran school because Quran school why was so the ustad beating us with a leash for reciting Surah Ma'un wrong?
That's so true.
Oh my God. I had no choice when it came to that situation. Oh God, this one's a long one. I grew up in Eastleigh, Nairobi, so I was once with my friends outside and was really young, so an old man just grabbed my hand and started walking. I was shocked at first and looked at him and saw that I don't know him, and I just screamed and he let me go because I know the people around, like the tailor and the vegetable seller. It's not really traumatizing, but I thought it was something I could share. That is traumatizing.
He tried to kidnap me.
Oh my God, do you know that how scary that is? Imagine you walking and someone just grabs your hand, continues walking with you, and then they put you in a van and then you get trafficked.
But trafficking is actually really scary.
I know. You need to look after your kids. Not having support when I was a kid, we needed it the most. I'm so sorry. Mascots or any person dressed in a character costume. I loved my uncle like a father and found out he was cheating on my auntie.
Oh yeah, that really does. It's like when you have that awakening and you realise the person that you really liked in the wild is actually a shitty human being.
Yeah, or like adults make mistakes. That realisation kind of got like, that's big one to swallow. My dad constantly telling me I'm dumb and stupid.
Why are these dads so abusive? Oh my God.
Not being allowed to express my emotions, so I'm breaking the cycle for my future kids. Oh my God, I really hope that you can, like, I don't know, find a way to heal. Because imagine not being allowed to express emotions really, like, stunts you as an adult. Walking in on my parents doing the deed.
Damn. What can you do? I mean, it's natural. Happens. No. It's how you came to the world.
If I saw it'll make you that feel sicker. As a child.
As a baby.
I would. Oh, my God.
I would heave. I would be traumatized.
I wouldn't know. Like, that's my childhood over.
Gone.
That day.
Your innocence is gone.
This one's rude. This one's just a plain. My father telling me when I was six that he was going to get a taxi to go to McDonald's, and I haven't seen him since. It's been 11 years.
No, I'm sorry. For people that have daddy issues, that is just beyond par. That man is despicable.
Disrespectful. Imagine it's the McDonald's excuse. can't even face
you should have just said I'm going on holiday.
Yeah, I couldn't even face the family and tell them the truth. I can't do this anymore.
Imagine he lives like a town away from them. How rude. Another family.
With another family. Oh.
Because they all do that.
My parents used to fight a lot, and my mum doesn't talk to my aunt because they argued about religion. The one ghost from Spirited Away. Jin's stories. He touched the Quran and lied. Okay, so being abused by my mosque teacher sexually and then my mum believing him over me as he touched the Quran and lied.
Disgusting. It's always the mosque teachers.
That's it. Okay, I'll do one more. Playing games on my dad's phone, then deciding to go exploring the rest of his phone. Oh, I wonder what she found. Oh my God.
Daddy's got messages. Daddy's got mail.
And that's the end of the Monday Madness. Guys, honestly, I feel like a lot of our traumatizing situations are like very similar to ours. Like mostly things based on like
family,
Quran school, Arabic school, jinns. I feel like we all kind of like had the same childhood.
Should I tell you the scariest jinn story that I was ever told in my life?
Yeah, go on.
So one time someone told me that this woman was a single parent. And she used to work full time and she had a kid. And I'm paraphrasing because the story was taught to me ages ago, yeah? And every day she used to struggle with her house not being cleaned. So then one day she comes home and the entire house is cleaned. And she's like, who did it? So then obviously it's not the kids because they were at school and it's not her. So she was just like, alhamdulillah, and went to bed and went about her life. And the next day, same thing, the house was cleaned. It kept happening. Then one day she came home. One day she came home early, right, from work before she picked up the kids. And she opened the door and she saw this tall figure, like huge.
Oh, she thinks it's the jinns that Ibrahim was talking about, you know, the strong ones.
I don't know, but she said she saw this mad tall figure that was like washing her dishes. But then when she went to the living room, his hand was like hoovering the floor. Then she went to like, she looked at the stairs. He was like hoovering the stairs. He was like doing three different things all at once. Like huge.
Shall I be honest with you?
And then she screamed and ran out.
I wouldn't be mad at it. I would say, alhamdulillah, Allah has brought me a maid.
Anyway, apparently the jinn basically said.
The what said what?
The thing cleaning.
Yeah.
Apparently said that I heard you like complaining about no one cleaning your house, so I did it for you.
What a considerate jinn.
I don't know about that. Why? That really scared me. Imagine you open the door to some huge thing.
But come on,
doing
like,
three different things.
Think about it.
And for a long time, I like my mind made a vision of him and it used to scare me at nighttime.
The jinn that was cleaning your house.
I don't want a jinn touching anything.
Some jinns are Muslim.
Maybe, it's okay. I don't.
Maybe
want
it was a Muslim jinn who saw how much she was struggling.
Perhaps.
With the children, with keeping the house clean, and he thought, "Let me intervene with maybe the direction from Allah to sort this woman's life out."
I don't know about that one. I really don't know about that one.
How do you know Allah didn't command the jinn to do that?
Why? Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam.
Because if I came home to a clean house every day, I'm not mad.
I'm sorry, but a jinn being in your house isn't a good thing. That's why you read Al-Baqarah.
Yeah, like, I'm just honestly thinking about that jinn.
Yeah, I mean, it did something good for her, so why not?
As an adult, if as a young, I don't know.
You're like, I'm not mad at that. Thank you.
As a young person, someone telling me that story, I'd be scared, yeah? But as a grown up,
you're like, I really appreciate
that. When my frontal lobe's developed.
I appreciate that. The jinn doing my work
Thank
for me.
Thank you, jinn.
Thank you. May Allah just make you Muslim. That tall thing. Right, guys, craziest things that happened over the weekend. So this week, some of you guys said someone stole my niqab at uni in the ladies' prayer area. Maybe they thought it was theirs.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought it was theirs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what did you do? You just walked home.
Face
Bless
with
you.
With face out.
You could just put your hijab up there.
Skin out.
Your face is out. Someone goes, I almost had a heart attack. And while I was at the hospital, I got Billy tickets for her tour.
Who's tour? Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
Yeah, she got Billie Eilish tickets
while she had a heart attack in the hospital.
Oh, don't be doing that.
What, I don't know what to do.
Do you know what I mean? You're like death's door.
Does anyone want to buy my Taylor ticket?
I'm not giving mine away.
Oh, do you want to give mine to, what's her name?
I might give it to it, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's such a good idea.
Not being able to, someone goes, not being able to, I'm not reading.
I'll read it, give it.
No, it's disgusting.
Give it to me. What was the question?
It's the craziest thing that happened over the weekend, not being able to.
Not being able to suck on some pretty toes, comma, sister.
What a nasty piece of work.
He wanted to suck on some toes this weekend.
Oh God, so sorry that you can't suck on toes. Someone goes, I'm getting engaged, but I had a feeling. I prayed istikhara and the next day his mum called me and I found out that he had a 10K debt and had to move out of his house. And then I blocked him.
Ooh,
a bit harsh.
I know. You're not going to...
10K can be paid off quickly, you know.
Not going to have a chat.
Not going to talk to him. Isn't he not bae?
Yeah.
You're about to get engaged.
Mad, isn't it?
Found out he had 10K debt and had to move out of his house and I blocked him. Rah, his mum ratted him out.
That's a good mum.
She's a good mum.
Yeah.
So anyway, someone goes, mum found out I got a crush on her friend's son. Babes.
I hear wedding bells.
Do you know what I mean? You need to tell your mum now, do the work. Get that done. Someone goes, I had a fight with a wasp in my kitchen. Oh my God, I hate wasps. Someone goes, my sister was caught talking to strange boys online about inappropriate stuff. She's 7.
Oh my.
That's 2 years older than my son.
Oh, oh my God.
I would die. How does she know that?
How does she not have parental locks
she on was the... caught talking to strange boys online about inappropriate stuff.
Oh my At God. Seven.
At 7. Why have you not got... parental lock on them devices?
But you know what, Harvey? Yeah, I'm going to be real honest with you about kids. Some of these kids are weird. When I say weird, yeah, it's basically what Dan was saying earlier about the forbidden fruit theory. They want what they can't have or what they can't access. They want to know the things that their parents shield away from them. So when they've got access to big world wide web, I'm telling you, the first thing that they're Googling is a pair of tits.
That's valid, because that's what I would do as a kid.
Yeah. So I don't know how she managed to find, you know, how she's chatting to people. How'd you set that up? Where's her profile? Shut it down.
How did that happen? Was that through games?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can chat to people through games. But you know, another thing that I'm actually thinking about is just getting rid of the iPads altogether. Because I grew up without an iPad, they can survive.
Yeah, without ones, huh?
Yeah. But like, obviously, I would only bring them out on a special occasion, like if I'm going on a flight, because then they'll be really excited to use the iPad on the flight. But just generally speaking, I just think I'm going to raise my kids without an iPad access. And I don't think I'd give them like laptops or phones until they're like 15.
But some of these kids have fetishes, I'm telling you.
They're sick.
They're just not vocal about them.
But how did these fetishes come, though?
They'll go on the internet and they'll search and broaden their knowledge about said fetish.
Yeah, but I would rather they do that, like... But that's fine, though, because we used to do dumb shit like that.
Come on, we all went into the toilet and wrote sex.
Like. Yes! It's true. One time I got caught. One time I was doing an exam, yeah, and I got caught. I don't know why the fuck I drew this, yeah. But I don't know what came into my head. I just drew the tip of a fucking penis. And my teacher found it. And she was like, she just looked at me. I was like, I don't know why I did that. I'm so sorry.
It's your hormones, darling. Don't be ashamed of your hormones.
It's the things that you don't have access to. Do you know? It's the things that you're told no, that you run to. So funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, someone goes, first time I met a stranger who reached out to me from LinkedIn. It was fun. Love that for you. And then finally, someone goes, I got into US Berkeley. USC Berkeley.
Oh, congratulations.
We love that. Congrats. And that's it. That's the end of our episode. Is there anything you want to say?
Right, guys. Thank you so much for... getting this far into the episode. Please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share, download, leave a review, 5 stars, this and all of that. And don't forget to subscribe to the Patreon.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.